This is Trumpet Radio Live.
Thanks for joining us here on Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG. We're online at kpcg.fm, and we have a live link at thetrumpet.com as well. Thanks for joining us there. And you can follow us on Twitter if you'd like to, at kpcgfm. Also, email comments at kpcg.fm. We'd like to take a look at those. It's Monday. Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, Abraham Blondeau here today. Abraham, I'll let you reveal to everyone who won the French election.
It was Mr. Macron.
There you go. So everyone was waiting. You know, besides the fact that the results came out yesterday. But there's probably somebody out there that's a revelation. Emmanuel Macron wins French presidential election over rival Marine Le Pen. With all the votes counted, according to Fox News, the passionately pro-European Union, Macron got 66% of the vote to just 34% for Le Pen. So I thought it was going to be closer, but it was not. Le Pen had promised a Frexit, France leaving the EU, just like a Brexit referendum, if she won the election. But apparently the voters did not agree with her, and most of them voted in Macron. So the EU is celebrating, I guess.
Yeah, I guess it makes sense that Le Pen didn't win if she was going to leave the European Union. Germany and France have always been too close. France has pretty much been like Germany's right-hand man all this time. And so for them to have a united superpower there, France leaving wouldn't really do them much good.
Yep. So that's, who knows? Maybe, you know, it's been kind of a messy process of trying to split away for Britain. And maybe France took a look at that too and also said, you know what? That's not for us.
Yeah. I think what's most interesting is that Macron is much more central than the leftist governments in France over the past couple of decades. The socialists have been in power. So, we could see if we've seen how strongly the left reacted against terrorist attacks. He is much more right than they were. He's still in the center, though. So we could see some more policy changes that way. I saw a couple interesting things people pointed out. First is when he walked on stage to give his victory speech, he walked out to the EU anthem, not the French national anthem. So I thought that was interesting.
Yeah.
The second point was there are only two people under 40 years old that control nuclear weapons. One is Emmanuel Macron. The other is Kim Jong-un.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's
high company.
Yeah. So, yeah, he's young. He's a young guy. So very interesting. And there'll be a lot more in the Trumpet about that. And, of course, Trumpet Hour and Trumpet Dailies and so forth. But anyway, interesting development over there in Europe over the weekend. Here in the U.S. over the weekend, more violence in Chicago. Police say that two were killed, eight hurt in a shooting at a Brighton Park memorial for earlier rifle slaying. So this has happened before where there's a memorial service for somebody that had been murdered, and then people at the memorial service also get murdered. So the police say that it was another brazen act of gang violence. So apparently rival gangs and it just never stops. So sort of just a terrible trend. There's a lot of talk about some of these gangs like MS-13 coming into the United States from Mexico. They had some violence over the weekend on the East Coast relating to them. So gang problems continue. The total number of gang members in the United States is 1,150,000, according to statistics. Number of street and prison gangs in the U.S., 24,250. That's a lot of gangs. Yeah, I mean, there's your top few, but then there's a lot of smaller ones.
Yeah, that's like one person out of every 35 or 40 who's in a gang in this country, or maybe even less than 35 or 40. So clearly we've done something wrong that would allow people to pursue that kind of a lifestyle. And even whenever you look at people killing each other at a memorial service, that just reveals an extremely deep level of hatred, presuming that they already killed the person for whom the memorial service was being held. And now they're also going to the memorial service and killing friends and family members, too. It's like the killing never stops. The hatred never dies, even when people are dying.
Yeah, and you get into this, you know, eye for an eye sort of mentality. Where does it stop? A lot of the members of gangs, as you would expect, are young. 40% of them are under the age of 18. Female gang members, 8%. Not that high, but there's some. Percent of juvenile boys in a correctional facility with gang affiliation, 90%. So if you cleaned up the gang problem, you'd knock out, according to these statistics, 90% of people in juvenile detention centers.
Yeah, I think what's really interesting is that a gang exists because something is missing in someone's life. And so they turn to that alternative to try to fill it. And that could be family, protection, money, food. In certain communities, the gang provides those things. The government doesn't, or their own family doesn't. And so they have to get involved in illegal activities in order to survive in some cases. And the only way to beat that is to offer them a better alternative. And that so far, in a lot of these communities, we don't. And a lot of it is just generational decline in certain areas. But yeah, it's becoming a huge problem. And it just breeds more and more violence because we have these young people who are going to have kids. And what are those kids going to do? They're probably going to have to go into that same culture to survive.
Yeah. Yep, it's a really bad situation. The percent of U.S. cities with 100,000 plus population that have gang activity, 86%. So if you live in a bigger city, 100,000 is not huge, but if you live in an area like that, most cases there's gang activity. Oklahoma City is a lot bigger than that. there is gang activity. You do hear about it from time to time. And it gets back to, like you were saying, Abraham, the void and in people's lives. And really, the answer is family. If people had stable families, they're not going to have that same pull to go out and get involved in some of these activities. But it is kind of a generational thing where, you know, the kids grow up without the families, they get into a gang, and then they perpetuate the cycle. So anyway, not great statistics.
Yeah, and specifically it would have to be the father as well, because even if you have a great mother, most boys are already bigger, physically larger than their mothers at around 13 years old. And so it actually does help to have even just a physically imposing presence so that even if you're really poor or you see something that you would want to take from someone else, you know you have someone at home to answer to who could not be pushed around.
Yeah, I mean, that's how would you solve it? You know, I mean, it's such a bad problem now that obviously it would take a lot, but if you could send all the dads out to grab their kids and take them off the street, you'd probably solve your problem pretty quickly.
Because look how young they're all starting. They're all starting when they would all still be dependents at home, and yet they still have the ability to go out and do that because there aren't people at home stopping them from doing it.
Yeah, it's quite a deal, but so that's it's not getting any better in the short term. There's always headlines about what's going on with some of those gangs. This one's really an interesting one, changing gears here. Sometimes people, they really buck the trend of whatever's happening in society, and people really embrace that. And this has happened in Norway. It's called Slow TV. You guys ever heard of this?
No.
I've experienced it, but I'm not sure if it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's not where you can't tune in the channel. It's Norway's Slow TV is a fascinating viewers for hours or days at a time. Now, you shouldn't be spending hours or days staring at TV, but it's just interesting how right now everything is very quick. We want, you know, new updates. We want, you know, more of this, more of that. We don't have patience in a lot of cases. And this one group there in Norway, they said, we're going to take it the other direction, and it's caught on. It says, it's television's version of taking a deep breath, a very long, very slow, deep breath. It's called Slow TV, and it's a surprising smash hit in Norway. It began with a broadcast of a train journey from the coastal city of Bergen to the capital, Oslo. The formula was simple. They just put a few cameras on the train, and you just watch the scenery go by for 7 hours.
Wow.
And people loved it.
It's almost like they're traveling. So it's, they get vicarious pleasure from just watching it on TV when maybe they didn't have the ability, the time off, the money to actually do that themselves.
It is like actual reality TV, you know, not this made-up drama where you're interviewing people, but you're actually just looking at the scenery go by for 7 hours. They have a few other shows because this one took off and people really liked it, so they said, okay, well, let's do a few more. They have National Firewood Night, video of logs burning for hours. It's a smash hit.
Well, we have that in United States and Canada. During Christmas season, they have the, well, at least in Canada where I live, they have a channel where it's just a fireplace all the time.
Yeah.
So if you don't have one, you can just watch a fireplace, the sounds and and everything like that. And a hand comes out of nowhere and pokes the fire once in a while.
Yeah. And if you're a funny person, you go over there and pretend it's your hand and you put your arm behind the TV. Yeah. 12 hours of the logs burning. It was a huge hit. So they did a few more. National Knitting Night. It started with the shearing of the sheep, and then knitting the sweater came much later in the 13-hour broadcast. And people, they love it. They have another one. It's titled Salmon Swimming Upstream. It ran for 18 hours. And afterward, the head of the station said it was too short. They needed more. They're doing one on a cruise where it goes for days. And what's happening, it's become such a national hit that people know they're going to do this. So when they did the cruise one, people were like lining the shores and waving because they knew they were going to be on the show. And like I think somebody, and I forget who it was, the some royalty there, they made an appearance. Besides just like watching the scenery go by, strange things happen. They see, who's that guy? You know, they're just excited to watch this. And I don't know if it would catch on in the U.S., but it's completely opposite to what the trends are, and yet people love it.
Yeah, I have an idea for their next one, watching paint dry and watching grass grow. Those would last longer than 13 hours. Another one they could do is have a video camera on like an airplane. Uh-huh. And you can just, when it's traveling, you can see the clouds and the scenery and that kind of thing for wherever it's going. But anyway, yeah, it's interesting. I've seen stuff like that. It was never intentionally done, though, like this, but it's just interesting.
I think one of the most popular shows in the UK over the years, as far as like religious programming, was just, if you want to call it religious programming, it's just scenery and music. People love it. Mm-hmm. So it is interesting. I don't know if this would be a thing that catches on here, but really it's a big, big deal over there in Norway. So they show different images from the shows. And there's one, it's just a nature show where you just watch this like sort of scenery. And there's a girl out there. She's, I guess, dressed sort of traditional Norway style. And she's knitting like in the field and there's sheep. And like, that's the show.
Wow.
So
hopefully that makes people realize that life can be actually rather enjoyable if you just get outside the house and get away from the screens and go see things for yourself. Because you could easily see some really interesting things off of the screen as well if you put yourself in those actual situations.
They got to be laughing themselves all the way to the bank. You know, you just throw a camera up on a tree. There you go. It's my TV show.
They should put a camera on an animal, and you just watch what the animal's doing. That would be really interesting because you don't know what they're going to get into. Could be quite tragic as well, perhaps. But it would be. And I know on Planet Earth, too, they put a GoPro on some eagles.
Mm-hmm.
And you can see them zipping around and diving at 100 miles an hour, and just pretty incredible footage.
That's something we couldn't replicate as well. And so it's not like you could just tell someone to go outside and experience the exact same thing. Animals tend to hide when we come near them.
Yeah. This morning when I was coming into the radio station, for the first time ever, there was a duck right in front of the door.
Oh, that loner, the one with the red all over its face?
I don't think it was that guy, but I have seen him. Yeah. We have a, for those that aren't aware, we have a pond pretty close to where we are here, and so we got a lot of waterfowl that come around. And the duck, he was just standing right by the door.
The guardian.
Don't know if he was trying to get in or was a guard duck or what. But anyway, I got out of the car, and my son had to run in with me quick to do something. And he flew away, and I said, oh, he's like, where did the duck go? I said, well, it flew away. He's like, he said, ducks can fly? Said, yeah, we're learning all kinds of lessons today.
Yeah, never see him flying too much.
Maybe the duck wanted an interview. But
yeah, maybe he wanted to get on the air. I don't know. And also, apparently the owl didn't scare him because we have that fake owl. So we know what, but the duck was almost as big, so he's probably like, I don't care. I'll take my chances. But so anyway, that was interesting. There's a Slow TV. It's in Norway. You could probably find it on the internet if you're interested. Another note kind of related to that, but different. This is a health note. It's from the Wall Street Journal. Taking a forest bath. Does that sound good to you guys?
Not really.
I think I've seen that. So
yeah, it's not exactly what you think. It's not like a bathtub out in the middle of the woods. I like those commercials.
Irish Spring.
Yeah.
Sure.
Speaking of, there's that new funny one. I think it's for Old Spice, where the guy's taking a shower out in the desert.
Oh,
and you can hear him saying, like, I didn't know if I should use the water for drinking or showering, whatever. And then a little while later, you see his skeleton.
Like, it cuts him off at the end of his sentence. Yeah. And he's already dead.
He made a mistake. He should have drank the water, but... This is healthy, and I think this this forest bathing, and they probably have a point. They call themselves forest bathers, part of a growing movement that believes immersing oneself in nature and in the chemicals plants and trees emit has unexpected medical benefits. The trip is part of their orientation as new employees of a maker of power devices. So this company in Japan, they're trying to give their employees like de-stressors. So they have them go out and hang out in the woods for a while. And I think that would work. They're looking at it because they think, you know, like the plants emit things that we need, which is probably true. But just in general, just getting out and walking around, that's good for you.
Yeah, I think just being in nature away from man-made, in a man-made environment is good for you because that's, I think, the environment we were meant to be more in than not. In things are natural. You can, it's peaceful. There aren't sounds reminding you of work or stress or that kind of thing. So it is just a detachment away from a lot of things that cause people being uncomfortable or stressed. So I think it's a pretty good idea.
They say the research isn't definitive yet. But from Japan to Hollywood, forest bathers say the therapeutic effects of trees are helping them, including Justin Bieber. He's a fan. He posted photos of himself on Instagram enjoying nature. Come on, Biebs. You can't enjoy nature if you're taking pictures of yourself on Instagram.
He brought the screen with him.
Put the phone away. Gwyneth Paltrow recommended it in her newsletter, and some resorts in the U.S. have started to offer forest bathing programs. When I was a kid, it was just called walking in the woods. But
yeah,
and now it's forest bathing.
I think it's just called going to one of the thousands of national parks in the U.S. that are free and just walking around.
Take a walk around. Scientists are studying forest bathing and focusing on the compounds trees emit. They reason that if swallowing certain plants can have medical effects, aspirin, for example, they say, breathing in the compounds may be similarly therapeutic. So they did some studies on this. And they have found that if you do walk in the woods and spend time in there, your body's more balanced in a lot of ways. Whether that's because of the plants, maybe. It's probably a combination of things. But just moving, being out in nature, yeah, definitely good for you.
Yeah, that's back east where I lived, there was a lot more trees. It wasn't a big built-up area. It was out in the country a little bit more. And I did have one experience where I bathed myself in the forest too long. And I was a young kid, and I was playing with my siblings in the forest.
This sounds like a story, like in a children's book, like Grimm's fairy tales or something. We were too long in the forest.
But I was out there, and my siblings were hiding from me, and I was 7, 8 years old, maybe something like that, maybe a bit younger. And we were just running around. We were looking for this. We found this old hatchet in the woods. So that's something else. But anyway, I got lost, and my siblings were hiding, watching me the whole time. I got lost. I got disoriented. I got turned around. I couldn't find my way out. So I started crying, and my sister and her friend surprised me. Like, they're sneaking up on me, and they're like, "Why are you crying?" And then everything was fine after that, cause I figured out my way out. But I went to the same place when I was older, and you can see the house from where I was. Like, you can see the house through the trees. I mean, I don't know how I got lost, but as a little person, you just get turned around and you get panicked and stuff.
Sure.
But anyway, this, take it from my advice, that you can take forest bathing too far if you're not careful.
You don't want to plunge into the deep, deep waters too early.
Stay in the shallow end at first.
At first, when you're young. Yeah. So anyway, that's something people are getting into. I think it's kind of common sense that it's, if you take a nice walk and relax, that's good for you, but they're investigating it even further now. So,
it's such a strange term.
Yeah.
I really thought they were going to be taking a bath.
Yeah, it's what it sounds like.
Well, I think it's from a Japanese word, and there's no English equivalent to it. It's called like forest bathing in English, but there's a specific Japanese word that's used for it, I think.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so if you get a chance, jump out there and do some forest bathing. It's good for you. You're listening to Trumpet Radio Live here on 101.3 KPCG. Key of David program's coming up here in a bit. Also, the Trumpet Daily Radio Show with your host, Stephen Fleury. Stop and check out the headlines today at thetrumpet.com as well. Top story today, right-wing extremism in Bundeswehr. And also related to that, he was right. Those are the top stories there at thetrumpet.com. You got one other note for us today. This should make us feel good about ourselves, I guess. You know, because everyone probably always thinks, boy, I wish I had a little bit more money. This is from cafehayek.com. You get the most interesting websites, Abraham. most ordinary Americans in 2016 are richer than John D. Rockefeller was in 1916. And we all know Rockefeller. He was very rich.
Yeah.
But we're better off than he was.
Yeah. They think James Rockefeller was probably America's first billionaire. It was either him or Ford, the inventor or the creator of the Ford Motor Company. What was one of the two, but they're both very rich. But I think this was really interesting. This was Cafe Hayek is a blog by Don Bourgeois. He's a economist. And this was quoted in George Will's column from Sunday in the Washington Post. And it's just making a really interesting point that I think makes us feel grateful for why we live in this modern age. And that is we live better than a billionaire did 100 years ago. I think it's really interesting to think about. Because I think a lot of us, when we read books and we think about, oh, I wonder what it would be like to live like at that time in history, like with Alexander the Great or World War II or whatever the time period may be. But when you sit down and write it and think about it, we have a lot of modern conveniences, even for people who aren't rich. They're just normal people who even the richest man in America couldn't buy. And it's just really interesting to think about. And I think it's just another good perspective to have on our modern age of innovation and technology and information.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of thinking something about that last night. I was watching a basketball game and NBA playoff game, and I was checking the headlines at the same time, and I saw a headline about what's going on in Venezuela. You know, and there's it might be getting to the point of starvation for some people. Probably not that extreme yet, but definitely some problems there. They don't have enough food to eat, and then yet here, not too far away, here in America, you know, you have these. Well, all of us have plenty for the most part. I know there's some that are struggling more than others, but you know, here you got these NBA guys. You know, we don't have any concern. There's nobody in that stadium, I think, thinking about, oh, where am I going to eat tonight? You know, in terms of, am I going to have food? They might be thinking about what restaurant to go to. But, you know, same world, same planet, not that far away, but just completely different concerns at the moment based upon economic status.
Yeah, exactly. It's amazing. The affluence we have, even when we're not rich or in the 1% or a huge sports athlete. He has some really interesting statistics and things to point out. He asked the question, how much money would you take to live 100 years ago? How much money would it take? And he said, well, what about $1 billion? And he talks about what James Rockefeller's life was like if you had that much money. And he said if you had $1 billion in 1916, you could probably have about three really nice properties, one New York City, one on the Pacific Coast in California, probably one in some woods area in the mid-United States. He said, "What? How do you get to those? You have to take a pretty uncomfortable multi-day trip in your private railroad car that isn't air-conditioned. Your nice houses might be air conditioned, but a lot of places you go aren't. Restaurants, business meetings, all that stuff, those aren't air conditioned. Very poorly heated in the winter. Mm-hmm. So just having air, I think, central air conditioning is something that people didn't have 100 years ago. Even the most powerful men didn't have it all the time.
Yeah, and it's really, I mean, it's allowed people to live in certain areas that would not be as inhabitable back then. I mean, I suppose there was ways of getting around it, but you know, you have people living out in Las Vegas. Well, there wasn't any water there, right? So until all that happened, you wouldn't have a Las Vegas or a place like that.
Yeah, exactly. We were living in places people couldn't be for unless they became acclimated through a long period of time. But we can go there for a trip, and we're very comfortable. I think the thing about today is, we accept comfort as that's the base limit. If you're not comfortable, I don't want it. It's not acceptable. Yeah. Back 100 years ago, comfort was the last thing. It was one of the last things on your mind. And he even said, he's talking about, what about, what are you going to do with all your spare time in your big houses? Radio wasn't invented till 1920. Television came a lot long time later. You have the phonograph. You could play the big records on. You could probably build your own movie theater, but those silent movies didn't come out until later. Your telephone was attached to the wall. You couldn't take it with you. You couldn't Skype your family across the country. When you're driving around your big limo, it'll probably break down and you have to wait in the limo until it's being done being fixed. Where are you going to eat? A lot of people like Asian food, different delicacies from different countries. At that time in America, people didn't even know they existed. We have meat and potatoes, chicken and waffles, the normal American dishes. That's pretty much all what the choices were back then. So it's just interesting to think about those things. Even more important ones, when your children are being born, back then 1 in 10 children died mm-hmm. in infancy. Now it's at 1 in 168. Some people die from just having a blister on their foot. The president's son died from just having an infected blister. There was no medicine. There's just a lot of things that today we take for granted that the normal person today lives better than a billionaire 100 years ago.
Yeah, and well, it's a really good point that you bring out that probably most people today expect a certain level of comfort and service and whatever. And if that's not there, it feels like, well, that's my right, though. But it's not anybody's right yeah. to have any of those things. You know, you see people protesting from time to time, but they don't have any real concerns at this moment. You know, they're not hungry. They're not lacking a place to live. They're not lacking access to all sorts of things. So it's there's not a lot to complain about. And yet, probably more complaining now than ever, I would think.
Yeah, well, when I was reading through this, thinking about the things I have gotten annoyed about in the last week. or the Wi-Fi is slow.
Yeah.
My phone doesn't have service in this weird area I'm driving in. My clock isn't, my watch I can have on my wrist isn't that accurate. My iPhone, I can't download certain apps on it. It's just all these things that we find annoying. So I'm stuck in traffic when before you had to walk, take a train, or drive a car would probably break the max speed of 30 miles an hour.
And fairly nice roads in most places, at least the major thoroughfares.
Yeah.
And that's a huge difference. I was talking to a guy years ago that grew up in Africa. And I said, what's one of the biggest differences between the U.S. and Africa? He said the roads. They couldn't get places. I'm not sure what part he was from exactly, but they didn't have roads to get there.
Yeah.
Or they weren't passable. You know, your car would, you know, it's a huge pothole and you're not driving like a Humvee or something. You're probably not going to get through it.
Yeah. Well, even back in 1916, fridges weren't invented yet. You had ice boxes. The washer and dryer was invented. You had to do all the laundry by hand. So a lot of things.
That's why nobody needed a gym membership, because you're always drying the clothes on the old or cleaning them on the old
right.
washboard.
Yeah, now people get washboard abs and they don't need to do
that's
laundry
where it
by
came
hand.
From.
Yeah,
where'd you get those washboard abs from? Using the washboard.
So it's amazing how many things today we just press a button and we can walk away and not think about it. Does the work for us? Back then, most of your time. Now we use that time for distractions and technology. Back then, your time was taken up doing chores, surviving. Just doing the normal stuff you had to do for work and for your kids. So just a different standard of living has over 100 years, even for billionaires. Our lives are a lot more comfortable. I was thinking, imagine being a writer in 1916, not having the internet to research, not being able to look at pictures of what you're writing about. I mean, mm-hmm. It's just amazing the avenues open up to the normal people. The average person nowadays.
Well, yeah, I mean, I think sometimes we maybe kind of get a little taste of this. Say if you travel to a foreign country, and I don't care how much money you've got or how much space you have on your credit card, if they don't have the good or the service, you're not getting it.
Yeah.
Right? So that'd be the same thing for people back then. You can have all the money you want, but if there's nothing available to you here, then you can't make it. So the money doesn't do you any good at that point.
Yeah, I think... it's just interesting to think about how much our culture has changed with technology, the cultural revolution, rock and roll, jazz, phones, how much our lives have changed. And the thing about if our society is better or worse with all those changes, and just good to maybe ponder that.
Well, there's a headline. I didn't look at the story yet, but there's a headline today that was talking about, you know, this idea that you get to the point where people don't work anymore. Now, I don't think that will ever happen necessarily. But, you know, they're thinking about that. And the headline was, you know, finding purpose in a life without work. Like, it sounds nice, you know, maybe on the surface, no more work, but what do you do? Like, what's your purpose in life at that point? And so a lot of people, I think, have that conundrum even now, because years ago, your day was filled up with things you needed to do to survive, in a sense. And now if you don't have all those concerns, what do you spend your time doing? Do you feel fulfilled? Do you feel that you had a valuable day? You know, that's an interesting thing to think about.
Yeah, well, I think if we look at the greatest minds, we still read their books. We still talk about their philosophy. We still read about them in history books. Most of them came from an era without internet, without cell phones, without the modern conveniences we have. Most of the great minds of the past came from that, when they didn't nearly have the access to knowledge that we do today. But they still, their minds could think more clearly. They were more original. We still read the letters of, for example, John Adams and his wife and to his son as a standard of penmanship and of how to write things. I mean, we have a lot more going for us today than they did, but I think there's just a lot to be said of what they spent their time on, and that there's a lot more fulfillment in what they spent their time on. I'm not saying I'd want to live without these conveniences we have today, but I think there's a better way to use them than how most people use them now.
Well, and sometimes you don't know what you're capable of until you're forced to see.
Yeah.
And so, you know, there's probably a lot of maybe even dormant abilities that people have, but there's no need to find out about them.
Yeah.
Nothing forces you to figure out if you can build a cabin, because you don't have to, things like that. So it is interesting, but it is good, too, to look at that and see that most ordinary Americans in 2016, of course, that was last year, so maybe we're poorer now, are richer than Rockefeller was in 1916 when you look at the standard of living. Very interesting write-up there from cafehack.com, and it's good to be appreciative, too, of all those things that we do have. Make sure you listen for the Trumpet Daily Radio Show coming up in a bit. Also, check out the Trumpet.com, right-wing extremism in the Bundeswehr. And related to that, he was right. Those are some of the main write-ups there today at the Trumpet.com, also the Key of David program. On your way. That's all the time that we have for today here on Trumpet Radio Live. Thanks for joining us. Myself, Dwight Falk, Grant Turgeon, Abraham Blondeau. Thanks for spending some of your Monday with us. And we'll talk to you again tomorrow. It's Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.
You're listening to Trumpet Radio, 101.3 KPCG.